the second appraisal did come in at $4.7 million. So that is what we kind of went with. What we want to share with you this evening is we are going to, first of all, and remember, we did this for our city council. We're going to spend a little bit of time going over existing library services. Mike will tackle that. We're going to look at some national trends that are impacting services, library services in Glendale, and how those trends are impacting library services specifically. With that, we'll then kind of go into this is what the vision is of this proposal, this concept. We have additional slides that we'll share with you tonight. You'll see these slides over here on the big screen. They're also on our website if you want to look at those. We felt it was important to have a conceptual idea of what this might look like. And the most important thing is this is a conversation. This isn't approved. Our council did ask that we go out and reach out to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission, the Arts Commission, and the Library Advisory Board first before we conduct any formal public meetings. So we're presenting this to the commission tonight in lieu of that. And what we will do, and what we're absolutely doing, all the comments you have, all the emails, all the press releases, we're collecting all of those. And our intent at the end of this experience is to share those comments with our mayor and council so they can make an informed decision based on what you are advising them to do. So with that, I'd like Michael to briefly go over the library system and some of the trends that are impacting the city of Glendale. Michael?
Hey, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here today and to be introduced as your chief librarian. I'd like to thank the commission for also inviting me to be here today. Just to go on to a little bit about it, just a quick overview, because everybody's pretty familiar with the Glendale library system, but if you're not, we have three facilities. We have Belma Teague and Murphy Park. We have the main library off Brown Street, and we also have what we're here for tonight, the Foothills Library. These facilities, we are open up to the general public 111 service hours as a system. At these facilities, you know, we offer DVDs, books, magazines, music, internet access, programming, youth, adult programming, a variety of special events. We had our songwriters program at the main library, but also special sessions, cultural experiences, and lifelong learning opportunities, as well as literacy, obviously. We do what it takes to encourage literacy at all ages, you know, and very much serve as community centers in Glendale. We have a fourth library branch. Our website is very interactive. You can access databases. You can search your own personal record. You can request items. You can renew items. You can see what books we have before you make a trip down to a physical library to pick it up. So it's basically what I consider our fourth branch. And, you know, anybody can access it as long as they have a library card. You can obviously access it. But it's open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So you can't beat that. And we had about 2.5 million sessions the last fiscal year. So it's a busy, happening place. We're always adding new databases to it. I like to point out things like Zinio and Access 360, which are some really nice, neat features that have come up within the last 6 months that the library has purchased. But also, we're part of the Maricopa County Library District. If you're not familiar with that, Upper Valley Libraries are a member of that district. And what we do is we're a member of the Shared Reciprocal Borrowing Program. And one thing you may not realize is that anybody within the valley can get library cards at each other's institutions. And what does that mean to Glendale? That means that basically they paid for our $350,000 catalog. They pay our $35,000 a year annual maintenance on that catalog. And we also receive about $51,000 in library assistance program funding from that participation as well. So it's encouraged based on that in part on tax evaluation and also reciprocal borrowers too. So if we have a number of Peoria and Phoenix residents that come to Glendale and get a card, that percentage also makes up how we get to that fund. So it has real and tangible benefits of doing that. And we recently did that not too long ago, about July of 12. But basically, this is considered basically our fifth library option as well. There are 11 libraries designated by this map that are within a 6-mile or 15-minute drive, which gives us all the possibilities in addition to the financial benefits that I just listed through. some of the examples include like the Peoria Library, the Maine Library, and Sunrise Mountain Library. And then Agave and Junior branches of the Phoenix Library are really close by, only about 6 miles and 10 minute ride. So, and also this works well for our far west Glendale residents out in Luke Air Force Base, and they have access to the White Tanks branch and the Fairway branch as well. So, as you can see, we have real and tangible benefits of being a member of this this cooperation and coalition as well. So, these are real and tangible benefits. And we'll just move on to the next slide. As Eric mentioned too, there's a lot of trends happening out in the library world. It's not just about books anymore. We still love books. Books are not going away, but the formats are changing. Technology's changing the way in which libraries are working. So we have to keep up, with the national trends and making sure that we're doing what we need to be doing to stay relevant in, 21st century. So part of this coalition, too, is a lot of libraries. If you go to AOLA's website, you can go back as far as the late 90s and see a trend of, multiple facilities. Most of them are being partnered with schools and universities because libraries are basically an institution of learning as well for the citizens. So it makes sense that we partner a lot with libraries. And public libraries are heavily invested with the school systems, too, like summer reading programs, youth programs, and then as school libraries are feeling the real financial pinch, they're coming to public libraries too. But there's all kinds of examples of partnering with public libraries and institutions of higher learning. So, the previous system that I came from, Scottsdale, they had one. The Palomino branch was at Desert Mountain High School. Chandler has one, so if you need some Valley examples, you don't have to go very far to get that. But also, some facilities like Avondale have joint use facilities that they partner with the Estrella Mountain Community College, as well as have public fire and safety and community rooms as well. So more and more, you're seeing that kind of joint venture, just a great utilization of your tax dollars, or better utilization of your tax dollars. Also, this leads to partnerships for programming. Midwestern has been a great partner for us. They've been doing health program series for us since we basically opened up Foothills. But it makes a natural fit to partner with these agencies because we can get programming that, when we have a financial crunch or just in general, we can reach and identify community partners that can come in and offer programs for the benefit of citizens. One of those other examples are too for like job training and programs of that nature. So our library, as well as other Valley libraries, have received help for creating job help hubs where we help the unemployed find employment. We do resume help programs, we'll review resumes, make sure that they have the formats and laid out. We'll also do like mock interviews, but we've received some LSTA grants for that too, which is federal funding that gets scrubbed through the state on a competitive basis. And we have two of those grants as well, not necessarily pertaining to Job Help Hub, but we've received two grants totaling about $50,000 for that for this fiscal year. We're in the process now of looking into the next cycle. So, and what you've heard about is like creative maker spaces, libraries. We know we have books, but we're also seeing a big trend in what's called maker spaces, where anything from youth and grade school level all the way up to adults, where they'll come in. This is where you'll find about your 3D printing, your digital media center equipment, your AV technology. Also goes down to elementary and grade school, like building blocks too. It's basically like problem solving, but it's also to create something. So if you're an entrepreneur and you want to make something, you can do it if you have a 3D printer. So there's all kinds of technologies that are coming out. Also, if you're an entrepreneur and you have a widget that you want to sell, and you're just starting out, you don't have any money, you don't know anybody, you can come in, you can make your own YouTube videos, you can market and create your own web design production. That's the kind of thing that we want to make into the digital media center. So these are all national trends. They're taking place. A lot of libraries are doing this. And I say that just to put it in context, too, that, Glendale Library, Foothills is a part of Glendale, and Glendale is a part of the Valley. So it all is interconnected. We're all part of a higher organization. So I think it's important we stay cooperative, see what other Valley libraries are doing, and see what best practices and ideas that we can do to make our system in Glendale that much better as well. So these are the kind of trends that we kind of take a look at. Kind of going along with that with STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, for my artistically inclined, or STEAM, as well. Kind of 21st century skills, it's a national educational effort that we provide programming that to kind of supplement the schools as well, or enhance the schools too. To really make sure that we're teaching our children and that are coming up these skills that are so important for us. Now, technology and technological access, it's revolutionizing the way we're doing things. You know, Amazon, Netflix, these are really on-demand things. You know, you can get a book with same-day service. We still provide service within 24, 48 hours of getting one book from maybe brought to here. So there's all kinds of technology things that are coming along. Streaming, stream videos, audio, music. You can do all this from the comfort of just having your free library card. So all these technological advances are coming up. I mentioned Zinio earlier. If you haven't tried Zinio, I would recommend looking into that. You can get online magazine journals for free. It'll tell you when the new issue's out. You can bookmark it. You can keep it forever. It's a really cool thing. If you like cooking or things like that, you can save it for recipes. So there's a lot of cool technological advances that are coming out now. Z-I-N-I-O. Zinio. And also, there's all kinds of trends, too, like the digital media centers, U-Media in Chicago, ThinkSpot in Mesa. So there's some that are already coming up online. So I would encourage you, please look into it and be familiar with what's coming up online, because the library staff are doing a really good job of trying to meet the demand. Technology is just changing the way we work. So with that, I will just turn it back over to Eric. Oh, I got one more. Okay. Part of the trends. This is a good one. As you can demonstrate with this slide, you can see that our electronic circulation is going up and our physical circulation is going down. This is a true apples-to-apples comparison. We changed our hours in July of 2010. So to be fair, this is exactly the hours that were shown. This is what 111 hour service hours looks like for the last 4 years. And as you can see, digital or electronic circulation is increasing. That's going to be increasing again because we just added Access 360 and Zinio as well. And our physical circulation is continuing to go down. So it's a pattern. It's just like, just for convenience. But this is a true apples-to-apples comparison. I mentioned earlier our website has seen 2.5 million sessions. That's people checking their account, seeing if they have a certain book, seeing what time we're open. So you can see that it almost mirrors what our physical visits have decreased. That, again, is a true apples-to-apples comparison. And this is why Glendale's population is also going up 3%. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Eric.
Thank you, Mike. What we'd like to do now is kind of go over the concept, what we're proposing. As we mentioned earlier, we do have a request from Midwestern University to purchase the library, the Foothills Branch Library. And we have explored the concept of potentially, if that were to happen, relocating that facility or a different version of it to this facility. And this room that we're meeting in would be a major part of that. This would be converted to the adult area that you'll see in the upcoming slide here. Basically, we're thinking of a Foothills Library and Technology Center concept that would replace the Foothills Branch. And in doing so, we believe that we can actually increase the number of hours that it would be open to all residents by about 13 hours per week. That comes out to about 676 hours per year, which is a fairly significant bump up in what we're able to provide. And that's just looking at the staffing levels, the size of it, and using the right ratio to get the right amount of staff to increase the hours. Additionally, what we hope to do, what we would like to do, what we would envision, and again, this is if, this is not a done deal, we would like to make sure that the technology is there. It's in the name of the new Foothills Library and Technology Center. So technology is center. It'll be central. And as Mike indicated, there are some trends nationally that show that we are shifting a little bit more towards technological aspects of library services. It does not replace tactile books, the opportunity to go and explore and kind of on a sporadic basis learn about different themes and cultures and what have you. That's not the intent of this. The intent is to balance the technology with an available book catalog. We would have 3D printers. We would have new computers. We would have personal assistant devices. We would have ThinkPads. We would automate it as much as we could. We want to transform the library experience so not only can you consume through reading books and accessing information, but you can also create. We propose to have a green screen with an audio and visual room with capabilities. And if you're a small business or an individual looking to do a YouTube type thing, that's when we want to bring that concept. Additionally, there would be a youth library and technology room right back in here in this area. Here we're proposing to do some structural alterations. There's a second unused kitchen in this area here. The one in the main front here, for the benefit of the commission, is used as a teaching kitchen, but there's another kitchen back here that's very seldom used. We don't rent it out. It was built at a time when we thought we were going to, but it just has not materialized. So we're proposing to kind of blow out this area here, put a window in, and create a family, kind of a multi-family center in here. And Mike will talk a little bit about that when he gets to the slide. We'd also have an adult room with technology, and focus would be to allow them to access the best technology that's available so they could use that. Enhanced Wi-Fi, enhanced broadband, and so on. We don't anticipate any reduction in library programming. We have spaces upstairs where we continue to do the coursework or the classes or the programming that currently occur at Foothills Branch. There are adequate spaces up there. In addition to that, the potential purchasers, suitors of the facility of Foothills Branch Library are opening up the same meeting rooms, the Roadrunner and the Quail Rooms, to residents for their HOA board meetings, their block watch meetings, and other public meetings as appropriate. So we'd still have that option as well. We would, if you can see, one of the bullet points here is we would maintain a 35,000 book collection. That is a significant reduction in the number of books. Currently, the Foothills Branch Library was designed to have about 150 to 155,000 books on the shelves. We're right around 174. To accommodate this particular vision, we would need to reduce the number of books. We wouldn't be able to put 175,000 books into this area here. So what would we do with those books? Quite frankly, we've come up with an idea. We would filter them in the main library, the Belma T, because they're of value. We would want to keep those for citizens, residents, visitors to continue to use. But we're also proposing the creation of community reading rooms. And we do have community centers at 54th and Ocotillo, 51st and Marlette, and 63rd and Missouri, that general area there, where we would envision creating a community reading room type concept. It would be an introduction to library services, but it certainly wouldn't be a full-blown library. Additionally, as you can see here, it's fee-based, but there's on-site daycare, we have a concessionaire, and we also have a recreation center. So part of the concept here is this is a unique facility. It's a community center, and we see the parallels potentially in moving the library here, where it's already a source of activity under that auspices. Finally, we know that having the library so close to the recreation and vice versa, there would be the opportunity for new patronage, not only at the library, but also on the recreation side. We want to make that an experience, too. This would all be free. It wouldn't cost anything. You still have your library card, and that's free. You just have to go register for it. So none of this would come at any additional cost to you out of your pocket. We're not looking to add in fees or anything like that through this proposal. If you go to the next slide, let's see which one. I've kind of talked about this. I've talked about these points here. It's a little more detailed, but basically, in summary, it's the community reading room concept that we discussed. We would want to make that available to those areas. We would also look to, at the Glendale Adult Center, there's a reading room there we'd like to make a little more robust and include in this proposal. And additionally, just down the hall, there's daycare. We would want to offer library services to the daycare component of the FRAC as well. So we think that's an opportunity as well. If you flip to the next slide, this is kind of the dollar part of it. And just to walk everyone through what this idea is about, if you back out the cost to replace the Chipotle that's there and the public art, that by ordinance would have to go back into the fund where it came from. Years ago, we purchased the Chipotle, and we also purchased the Magic Doors, and we also purchased something called 24 Hours in the Sonoran Desert. You're probably familiar with that. That's the large glass work that's in the library there. We use public arts funds for that, and anytime we haven't done it, but if we were to sell any city structure, any city art, we would have to replace that fund with the money of the sale to a certain extent. In addition to that, we think that what we're proposing will cost right around $380,000, $400,000 to accomplish the remodeling, the restructuring, the new technology. We've gone out and got a few estimates on that. And when you back it all out, that $5 million that is being offered to us by Midwestern University kind of goes down to $4.1 million. That's what's left over. And that would be the purview of the mayor and council to decide what they would want to do with the balance of the money. Additionally, I'm just telling you that it's their in addition to that, just like everything else, we plan for rainy days, and eventually the roof leaks, the heating system goes out, the carpet gets worn, the furniture needs to be replaced. For Foothills Branch Library, we have about $2.7 million in what we call our capital improvement plan. And if this were to move forward, if this were to happen, we wouldn't have to budget for that any longer. So we would be able to wipe that off the books, the $2.7 million. $380,000 in annual savings to the city, as Mike mentioned earlier, or I think I may have mentioned it, there would be no reductions in force of full-time employees. Okay? I've seen a couple of comments saying, hey, you're going to fire the staff, and they're not going to have a job. That's not what we're talking about in this. We have made arrangements, if this were to go through, to not only fully staff this concept with full-time staff employees, but those that don't find a home here would be circulated in the library services program, the library system. And that's very important to remember. Now, we do have some contractual positions. And by nature, contractual positions are those that are temporary. We bring people on, we let people go as we need them. There are a few of those positions that would no longer be needed, and we would stand down on that. Because of the size differential and because of different staffing ratios, we would project about $380,000 in annual savings that the library wouldn't have to spend and could be used elsewhere in the city, perhaps elsewhere in the library or elsewhere in the city. That's the mayor and council's decision if this were to move forward. And I mentioned the no full-time staff reductions. I think if you go to the next slide, Midwestern University, in addition to the offer that they have made to us to potentially purchase the building if this were to go through, also has pledged the following, and this is a summation of the conversations we've had to date on Midwestern University. Specifically, they have a campus library, and I don't know if you know this, but it's currently open to Glendale residents. It's going to continue to be open to Glendale residents Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m., and it's a great place to go. It's medically oriented, of course, because they're a medical school, but it is open to Glendale residents, and likewise the reference staff that work there as well. With respect to the new facility, if Foothills Branch Library were to be sold, they have committed to allowing, if you will, any resident to go in to the new facility to use the rooms as appropriate. Of course, you would have to calendar it. But they would make that available to any resident to go and look at the artwork that's still there that we originally purchased for the building that stays there. And they would also be able to go in and use the area for studying, and so on. So that is a gesture as well. In addition, they do want to use the facility for high school students. They believe in STEM. Michael talked about that. They have faculty. They have students that are there. And through mentoring and on-site training opportunities, they would want to engage high school students to use that facility for the science, technology, engineering, and math component. I talked about the community meeting rooms. Those would still be made available to the public. Health awareness programs. We already have health awareness programs. They would continue those at the new site. And the last couple pieces. There is a dog park there, and I think most of you who have four-legged friends, the canine nature, have gone up there once or twice. They've agreed to let us to continue using the parking lot to access the dog park, so you wouldn't have to walk as far as the closest available parking. Additionally, the last piece here, last couple pieces, I mentioned earlier that there's about $2.7 million in money that we have on the books in our capital improvement budget that we might be able to take out. They, in turn, would need to reinvest in that facility. The parking lot would probably need to be redone. There's some landscaping, there's some interior items, and they would use their own capital for that. They understand the importance of maintaining it to the highest quality possible and would want to invest their money, and they pledge to do that. The final piece is they've been working with a veterans group, a non-profit veterans group, to see if they can't house that veterans group in the facility as well. So you take all this, and what may happen if this were to go through, and it's an interesting proposal. I think if you go to the next slide. Okay, we want to transition a little bit here, and what we're going to do is to the commission. These are the conceptuals of what's being proposed. So Mike is going to kind of walk through this, and we'll do our best job and try to be succinct so we can be respectful of your time. So Mike.
Thank you, Eric. Okay. Also, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that these concepts are attached to our presentation online as well as over here as well, if you'd like to look at it a little bit further. This is the aerial view of our current concept. Should this concept go through, this is what we are proposing. This is an aerial view of the frack. So what we would do is we would have a book drop here. We would have a western side entrance, basically the emergency exit that you're looking at to your back right. We would have a western entrance and also through the lobby as you entered in tonight for the commission meeting tonight. As you come in, we would have adult computers right here. Eric mentioned the concept of the multi-purpose room, which would be this kitchen right behind me. And then we would have the digital media lab. We would wall it off and we would also enter in the meeting. We would have soft seating in all the locations. We would also have in the lobby, and then there's also a concession stand area that also has seating as well. Continuing east, we would have the youth area. It's kind of a conception. These are all conceptuals. Keep in mind, we'd have soft seating here. We would also have a youth area for computers. And also mentioned, Eric mentioned, like a tablet, whether it's iPad or Galaxy tablets, we would have those here. Probably our teen area and our youth area here. So this gives you an aerial view of the concept. This is a view of the western side entrance coming up the sidewalk. Lead you in this way. Once you enter that door, this is what you may be greeted with, is with the computers on your left, and then the customer service desk on the right. You can see over here, this would be where the multi-purpose program room would be, the digital media center room right here, as well as the staff. This would be the conceptual view of the staff desk. Looking straight ahead would be the multi-purpose room, program room, and the digital media lab as well. Here's a conceptual view of that youth program room. I recommend you.
Use your voice.
Okay. So you lose your voice when you go through the presentation somewhere. So what we would envision is we would have the multi-purpose program room here, then the digital lab. This would also be the conceptual view of the youth area. We would have a tablet dispenser on the wall, and then computers over the swap. Thank you.
All right, that's a perfect segue. So this is the wrap-up slide. So thank you, Mike. Thanks for shouldering on there. So again, last Tuesday, we went to council, and we presented them with the concept. And what they asked us to do was to go out and engage our boards and commissions, and this is step one of that process. For those that aren't here tonight or want to hear this again, we'll have another meeting this Wednesday at the Foothills Branch Library at 6 p.m., and then again, we'll have one at the main library, in the main meeting room, or in the auditorium. We'll see how the crowd size goes at 6 p.m. on Thursday. Oh, I'm sorry, the adult center, too. Yeah, the room 108. Yeah, thank you, Lori. Yeah, it'll be on Thursday. It's not the adult center. It will be, it's not the main library. It will be the adult center at 6 p.m. And all of these locations and times are on the website.
I would like to get feedback from the citizens, the surrounding people, and get their input and see what they think about it. I think that's probably the most important. And not make a decision so quickly and, you know, talk about it, debate it, table it, and go back and forth and take our time making a decision, and hopefully it's the right decision. Yeah.
When it became, you talked about library cards, and if you don't live in the area of Peoria, Phoenix, Maricopa County, how do you, are the library cards free, or do you have to pay fee?
It's free. Excuse me, it's free.
So, me, myself as a Glendale resident, I want to become a member of the Peoria Library. I won't have to pay Peoria fee.
You do not?
I have, what is the ALA website?
If you go to ala.org and you can keyword search multi-use facilities or multi-use libraries, it'll come right up. ala.org.
I have one more question. When you say the parking lot, we'll still have access to the parking lot to the dog park. Okay?
Yes.
Does that mean Midwestern is paying us rent for that parking lot?
No, the answer to that would be no. That would be a part of the purchase that's been proposed to us. So not only would they purchase the building, they would purchase the footprint, which also includes the parking lot. I hope that answers your question.
So they have to service that parking lot for the residents that bring their dogs there.
Chairman Christick, as I understand the question, Midwestern University, because it would become private property or property of the university, they would be responsible for maintaining the site appropriately. And certainly if that meant servicing the parking lot or cleaning it, that would be a part of what they would normally do in the O&M.
Yeah, with the introduction of the new STEM programs, how are we going to actually get funding for that for them?
Can't hear you.
I apologize. I asked for the STEM programming and how they're going to get funding.
Could barely hear you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Can you hear now?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I asked about the STEM programs and how they're going to continue funding them, even though they're already underfunded as it is. So how's that going to work out?
Well, one of the things that we've done, I mentioned it a little bit earlier in the presentation, but our greatest asset right now is our staff. We have several great staff grant writers on staff that are doing those grants, and that's how we can pay for those services, is do those competitive grant applications. And then we've done some very good things grant-wise, that we're doing e-resources, collection development, job help hubs, things like that. So grant writing would be the main way in which we can make those available. Thank you, Chairman Christie.
I have several questions, so I apologize in advance. As we look at the plans, we are the Parks and Recreation Commission, so from the Parks and Recreation perspective of the Foothills Recreation and Aquatic Center, a couple different things. We recently went through a plan to increase membership here, and so as we start to explore the possibility of this, have we already promised a certain bill of goods to those new customers or those new pass holders here that have a certain expectation as far as, you know, the child care option and things like that, access to special interest classes that could happen in these rooms that might happen now, because obviously as we take space away from those things, the activity room as well, which I know a lot of pass holders come and use, they maybe go and work out and come down and shoot pool for several hours and hang out and use that as a community space, and I didn't see anything here. Anything in the presentation that really addressed that. It's very library-centric, which I understand. It's a big component of it. I really do. But from a Parks and Recreation Commission side, what are we going to do for the current pass holders, or are there plans for that as of right now?
Chairman Christick, I can probably take a stab at that one. The answer to the question is there will be no change to the services provided to members in of the Foothills Recreation and Aquatic Center. Now, there are classes that are... These rooms, this room here and the rooms upstairs, they are used for some of the SIC classes. There are some training opportunities, fitness, Zumba, and dance activities. The focus would not to be intrude on the right side of the building, where most of the parks and recreation, the recreational activities take place. What we would do is, quite frankly, it is kind of a sea change concept. If we were to move this library here, you're absolutely right. This room would no longer be available for the large exercise classes. We would have to coordinate more clearly with the library side of things for the use of the rooms upstairs and the back rooms there. And we've had those discussions, and we believe that can occur. With respect to the community room, that you're absolutely correct. That would change. That would become the new youth and teen area where we would have the stacks and the technology there. So what you see there would be a lot different if this were to go through. So from that standpoint, yeah, there is an impact to the FRAC itself. With respect to the membership, we don't expect that. We don't expect significant change.
So the equipment that's currently in the activity room, is it a planned move for that equipment right now, or does that just go away?
We would have to look at where we could put it. Could we put some of that in the adult center there? Move some of that to the community center. The simple fact of the matter is that room would be used for the purpose that we've shown in the concept.
Okay. My next question, obviously with the focus on finance and budget, the Foothills Recreation and Aquatic Center has constantly been a focus of cost recovery, being pushed and even challenged to hit 100% at different times. But with the change in the facility, you're essentially taking away, as I understand, two big components of the program through the Foothills 360 program, which is the summer youth program, as well as facility rentals. When those things go away, is there an adjustment of the cost recovery for the facility? Has that been taken into consideration as far as now that we incorporate a library and it becomes more of a public building, is there a set percentage now, or is that still research? Is that coming, or how does that look?
Yeah, to answer that question, Commissioner Padilla, Chairman Christick, basically what Commissioner Padilla is referring to is the Foothills Recreation Aquatic Center was designed to be about 72-73% cost recovery when it was first built many, many years ago. Internally, our goal is to try to make that 100%. But clearly, as we mentioned in this concept, we're creating more of a community center type atmosphere, and that would impact the ability to generate revenue. So we have to be aware of that, and that's part of the conversation that and awareness that our council would have, and certainly the upper management would have with respect to this particular facility. We would still like to make it as close to 100% as possible. That, regardless of what happens with this, that will not change. That's a goal, and that's a healthy place to be. But we know if you take away rental opportunities, if you take away special interest class opportunities, and you can't make that revenue up, you've got to relax that a little bit.
Is there an idea as to timeline, if things move forward the way the proposal is going. Is there a certain timeline you guys have in place already, or?
Yes, if this were to move forward, basically Midwestern University, as I shared with the council, Midwestern University would like to take receipt of the building at or about the end of this calendar year. Initially, it was in mid-September, and at the council meeting last week, they said, is that enough time to have the conversation and to go out and do the proper bidding process and engineering and everything else that goes with it? And the mayor and council asked our city manager to ask Midwestern University if they could hold off on that. And they said towards the end of this year would be acceptable to them. I believe they were trying to get it turned over to them at or about time for the beginning of the autumn session. This would take it to the January time frame, late December time frame.
Just additional information I know that I would like to see. We mentioned the total library number being at approximately 174,000 books, looking at potentially moving 35,000 here, which is obviously a huge decrease. Is there a way to see of that 114,000 library, the number of those books that are actually checked out on a regular basis? I know there are times, I'm an avid library user. I use the digital library as well. I use all of those things. But are there ways to see of those 170,000 books that you have available, what percentage is regularly used and checked out? Now, mind you, I understand some people go in and they browse and things like that, so those numbers might not come through. But is there a way to see those numbers?
Yes. Yes. What we do is we do all kinds of statistical analysis. If you take every book of the 174,000 that we have, 65% of them checked out during 2014. So that means the remaining percentage are sitting on the shelf. We had mentioned earlier about a lot of questions regarding the 30,000-35,000. If you take into consideration Belma Teague is less than 16,000 square feet, and approximately 2,500 to 3,000 of that is staff area. They have 72,000 books in basically a little over 12,000 square feet. So while we're throwing out 30,000-35,000 items, I'm hopeful we can do more than that based on just like what Belma Teague is doing. If they can get 72,000 books or materials in basically 12,000 or 13,000 square feet, I'm hopeful that number can be more. But obviously, you don't want to overpromise. In addition to statistics, we are doing some really good things. We recently earmarked for the budget a collection development software called Collection HQ, which will give us real-time data. We can get exactly what Foothills customers want. We can get exactly what Main Library customers are asking for. We can get exactly what Belma Teague Library customers are asking for. Down to the subject, down to the number of James Patterson copies of books we can get. And I'm real excited to get that. We have not had that, and that's already one of the first things that I've done since I've been hired is to get that Collection HQ number, and it'll give us real-time data. Also, I want to make sure everybody knows we do have an existing courier service, so if we don't have it here at the new concept or at Foothills, we can get it from Main Library or Belma Teague, and we do have a courier service, and depending on when you reserve it, we can get it here within 24 to 48 hours. So it's a big shift to go to 174, I am hopeful we can probably do better than that. And then even if we go to 30 to 35,000, we can get exactly what customers are asking for by using this software when it comes online. Thank you, Chairman.
I'm almost done, I promise. As we start to look at staffing, you talked about the 3D printers and the green screen rooms and those kinds of things. Do we have staff currently on that are able to do those, or are we going to be looking at additional trainings for staff or reaching out for new staff members to be able to provide that service? It's great to have the resource and the asset, but do we have folks that can show others how to use it or teach?
We have very good, our staff is our greatest asset. A lot of them are very tech savvy. We've done cross-training over the years in direct relation to the economy. The state, we have an excellent state library that does all kinds of free programs and workshops. We have an annual conference in November within the state that they do all kinds of training and workshops of that nature as well. So training is not a problem. If they don't know it, they can learn it. And it just makes for a better citizenry. Because obviously our staff needs to know how to operate it if we're expected to show our citizens how to do it. So I think we've got the training aspect covered, sir.
And then the last question I have is, You talk about the increase in site visits and things like that. As the information, as you're in your fact-finding mode, with that amount of usage or access, I would love to see even a digital survey online. There might be folks that maybe aren't available to come out in the evenings and things. So I know I would love to see a digital, whether it be a survey or an evaluation available or made available to those folks that might not use it on a regular basis, but more on the online, and to kind of get some feedback from there as well, just so that we're seeing all sides. Because as we know, there are multiple sides to every story and proposal. So thank you.
Thank you. That's a good suggestion.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Strunk, I have quite a few questions. And since this is closely tied with FRAC, it's about the library. I'm going to be asking a lot of specifics about the library. What year was that purchased?
The land was purchased in April of 1997.
Okay, and when was it built, the library?
The library was built over the 1997 to kind of the 1998 time frame.
Okay. And what was the cost to the city to build the building itself?
When just the building itself was 5.182806.85 billion. Yes, correct.
How much was the land?
The land was purchased in April 1997 for $434,508.15.
Okay, and how much art are we going to leave in that facility if it's sold?
We would leave, I'm sorry, Chairman, we would leave, there would be two pieces of art that would go with the facility. One would be the Sun and the Moon, the Chihuly, the Dale Chihuly sculpture, and then there would be the 24 Hours in the Sonoran Desert.
What's the value of those?
The value, the purchase, I'll do two things. The original purchase price for the Chihuly was $200,000. The most recent appraised value is $400,000. The purchase of the 24 Hours in the Sonoran Desert was $85,000, and I believe the most recent appraisal comes in at $135,000.
Okay. Without real specifics, $5 million doesn't cover any of the costs. Is that correct? That we've incurred since 1997?
Thank you, Chairman. What you do in these cases is when you receive an offer to purchase real estate, you go through an appraisal process. And as we mentioned earlier, we went through two separate appraisals. We checked with the Maricopa County Assessor's Office and we looked at the capital depreciation rate. And from all that, we shared that with Midwestern University, and they came back and said, even though it appraises at $4.7 million, that's what the building in the footprint appraised for, we're willing to offer the $5 million. So to answer your question, it costs $7.78 million to construct and to put all the furnishings in. Right now, removing all the furnishings, with the exception of the Chihuly and the 24 Hours in the Sonoran Desert, we would take the magic doors and put those elsewhere. The purchase price of building, as indicated and offered by Midwestern University, would be $5 million.
And the moving of all the equipment and books, is that being picked up by the city or Midwestern?
Very good question. In one of the earlier slides, if you can go back, Mike, real quick here. Go back up to, keep going. This right here, the very top bullet point, it says that one-time sale proceeds to cover the cost of location transformation and net the city $4.1 million. As I indicated earlier, when you back out the cost to replace Chihuly in the 24 Hours in the Sonoran Desert to the Arts Fund, and then you back out the cost that would be associated with the potential relocation and transformation of the library, you get about $4.1 million left over, a net, a fund balance, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, that 4.1 that's left, does that include the remodeling of FRAC?
Yes, it does.
So we're talking about, $9.9 million going to be used for the relocation and remodeling of FRAC to accommodate the library.
Correct.
We'll get to you guys' questions in a minute. That's a good one, though. Keep it on mind. Okay. Okay, what kind of programs are we going to lose for our, you know, for what space? Because I understood it was going to be the area with the billiards table. Is that an area that's going to be lost?
Good evening. My name is Lori Bye. I'm the manager of this facility and the Glendale Adult Center. As Eric stated before, we have the activity room. The game activity room across the hall would be changed over to be for the library.
Is that
Is
that billiards?
Yes, that's the billiards and the ping pong and any kind of board games they might have. And then also, commissioners, we will have to relocate some of our special interest classes that specifically are held here, as well as if we, classrooms upstairs, if we share those with the library, we may have to relocate or cancel some of those classes. Our thoughts are the classes here, we could potentially adjust the time in the gymnasium, and we have to reduce a little bit of the open gym time to offer more structured classes. We have a little bit of an alternative.
Okay, so we are going to lose some items at FRAC, and so the library has to lose you.
So some of the special interest classes, I think several of those could be relocated to the Adult Center or to one of our other facilities. So it may not be offered here, but we might be able to relocate it to another recreation center.
Is there a possibility, again, since this is closely related with the FRAC, is there a possibility for the commission to look at the appraisals?
If the commission wishes to look at the appraisals, we'll make the commission's we'll make the appraisals available to the commission. I would just have to check with the city attorney's office to make sure there's no legal requirements, but it should be a matter of public record, and you can certainly do that.
Okay.
But let me check first, and I can respond back.
Okay, I'd like to see that. Just,
sure.
We have another microphone before we use this one.
Okay. Also, and I know this doesn't have to be a formalized type appraisal or review, but I find it hard to believe as a homeowner in this area that a property such as the library wouldn't go up in value like everybody else's homes and businesses. I really think $5 million around the public estate. And I'd like to see what another building that's similar size, 33,000 feet, in this area, and I know there's plenty of them, and what it currently would cost versus what it was, you know, cost when it was built. And let's say if we could find one in 1997, the same type of building, and see what the difference is. I just cannot understand how a price of a building such as Foothills could be going down.
I think what you'll find is in the appraisals that were conducted, there were different land use assumptions related to the appraisal. And where in the first appraisal, you had the use of the Foothills Library as kind of a church, a faith-based type function, more of a public-oriented type function. And the second appraisal was more of a back office type function where you might have to use it for a commercial purpose. And those were the two critical land use, different land use assumptions that went into it. We could certainly noodle some numbers on what it would cost to build another 33,000 square foot library. We'd have to go back and work with our engineering department to get adequate estimates on land. But at the same point, there were differences in the methodologies used to do the appraisal.
Okay, I think anything you can provide us, major appraisals, if I answer some of those questions. I just feel $5 million would be undercut too much. Looking at the usage, I know when you were looking at usage before the libraries, how it was decreasing, you didn't break out Foothills. That's all three libraries, correct? Okay, when you indicated that the people coming in to use the library had decreased a certain percentage, you had all three libraries combined, correct?
Correct.
Okay, can we get one that just says what Foothills is doing? I I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Foothills checked out 666,000 item flush.
Wow. Okay, what did you hear before?
Working off the PLDR report that we submit to the state, for comparison, Maine Library did 781,000. Belmateague did 208,000.
Okay,
physical circulation.
Okay, but what I'm asking for is just Foothill items, what it did from one year to the next. In other words, the last year that you have as far as records, what it did compared to the previous year. Okay.
Foothill. All right, you got last year's total.
666,000.
Correct, yes, sir. Chairman Krista, on fiscal year 12-13, Foothills did 718,000. And fiscal year 11-12, it was 743,000. The year before that, it was 839,000.
Okay,
so I guess you can still see a decrease in the circulation.
Right, I just wanted to break that out since different fibers are obviously different locations.
Yes, sir.
Noticing some of the slides you had, it seemed like there's a lot of children's areas have been decreased a lot. Can you give me a percentage or a square footage that we have in the library now versus what we would have in FRAC for the children's area?
Chairman Christie, just give me a moment. I'll have the statistics.
Oh, sorry about all the questions. It's just they came up as you talked.
Okay, currently the youth department, the square footage is 37% or 5,500 square feet.
And when it goes to FRAC, how much does it change?
2,700 or 2,900.
Okay, thank you.
Plus 500 for the program. Yes, sir.
500 for what?
The program room here.
Okay. Okay, how many staff are currently at Foothills? Everybody, total, including contract?
16.
60?
16.
16, okay. And when you move to FRAC, how many are coming in?
We are going to have 7.5. Full-time equivalents. So we're going from 11 full-time equivalents down to 7.5 equivalents. It's kind of library lingo, too, to use like full-time equivalent because we have part-time staff.
Right.
So we're getting further differences, but that's why.
Thank you.
Sure. Chair.
Okay. Was any kind of analysis done to see if it's 9,000 square feet that you're looking for at, right?
9,000 for the library portion, sir?
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, was any analysis done to see if 9,000 square feet would handle the demand? Okay, and based on current usage of Foothills, 9,000 would accommodate on that?
Well, again, we're going to a smaller footprint. A lot of that space is taken up by book stacks. I'm still confident that we can still get the new seekers on the best
side. Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Also, as far as there is that much more higher demand for the technology versus the children's programs and all the other programs? You want me to rephrase?
Please.
Okay. That's no problem. You did some kind of analysis to determine that the 9,000 square feet would meet the demands of the children's programs, the adult programs that they have, the amount of books that are checked out per year, that 9,000 square feet would have accommodated that.
In this concept, correct? Yes.
And you have looked at the fact that people still want maybe to look at books versus the electronics?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Councilman Padilla was saying that, Councilman, Commissioner Padilla was mentioning something about getting more information out to the general public, and my understanding is that's extremely important in this particular item. Are you guys going to do more than just put something on the hot, or kind of a hotline, and something where people get the information out, because most of the people I've talked to have never heard of this?
The answer to that question is, we will have as many public meetings as we need to allow all those who want to have a say on this to have a say on this. We initially presented to council last week at the workshop a series of approximately 12 public meetings that, in concept, we were hoping to accomplish. What they directed us to do was to go out and engage the various commissions that are most potentially impacted by this proposal. So what we've done beginning tonight is we're doing the engagements, and this is a public hearing, as will be the Library Advisory Board hearing, as will be the Arts Commission hearing this week. And if there's a need after tonight, which it looks like there will be, and we're happy to honor that, we will schedule additional meetings as appropriate to make sure that the commission's satisfied with the input process and that you feel you have the information you need to make a good decision when you're ultimately asked to vote on this concept. So between what we have now, these meetings, the website, the hotline, we will publicize as needed additional meetings, and we will work our best to get those out through as many means as we can.
Okay. I guess I'm worried, even though we have a tremendous crowd here, everybody I'm talking to will get hurt about this. Somehow communicated, because this is a historic decision that's being made here as far as putting a library of that size. And I would think that maybe even in the city brochure that comes out monthly with your water bills, somewhere in there, I know it delays the process. Kind of voice their concerns or support the idea. But at least we need to get more information out. I don't know how everybody learned about it, but glad you did. But I think it's important. Big respect to everybody. You were indicating that a lot of the trends impacting the Glendale Public Library and kind of made it sound like it would all happen if we moved it to FRAC. Could this still happen at the old library without taking time?
Chairman Christick, the answer to that question is certainly. And that question was asked by the council of us last Tuesday. The question came up is, regardless of what the outcome of this is, do you still envision this occurring at the three existing library facilities? I would say absolutely. We would like to accomplish that. Now, we are bound by the resources we have available, and that's how I chose to answer that question last Tuesday, and that's how I would answer it here tonight. If we come up with the funding, if we come up with additional funds, if there's another way to fund some of these improvements, absolutely, we believe strongly that this is the future of the library, that it's balanced between books and technology, and we very much do want to bring in new tech at Belle Mateague and Maine and Foothills, whatever version that might be.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Strunk.
But you will also, all of the books are going out to LMT, anyway. You're going to bring a library and put it in here with no books?
No, sir, that's not correct. What we talked about was that we would take a look at the collections. We know what collections circulate heavily. Obviously, we would bring those over here first. And then we would basically either triage or, you know, take a look at it. We would bring books over here immediately, the best collections, the youth, anything new, whether it's new adult, new fiction, the DVDs, we know what circulates. That will come over. Also, we would take a look at making room at Maine and Velma as an option. We also have a pretty sizable storage area in our tech services area at Maine Library, where we could also house some in storage as well, in addition to like the community reading room options. So, believe me when I say it's like, the print books, we will do the best job that we can to make sure that they're available to the public. So you've got four options right there just for the book material. In addition, when we can get the new software, we know we can get exactly what you want at each location too, when we get that hopefully approved through the normal budgeting process. So the books will be looked at and taken care of. We've got the four options, and that's in the current concept. Thank you.
One more question. Is there going to be cuts? Having or hiring or looking for a knowledgeable manager of a fitness center. Are we still doing that? Is there still going to be Zumba classes, yoga classes, step classes, weightlifting classes? And but you took the room away, you said.
Chairman Christick, Commissioner Irons, I think the answer to that question is what we're proposing would have an impact on the availability of certain SIC classes and functions that are done here outside of the library. That would essentially be replaced with the library function. The answer to the question is we're always looking for the best talent as possible to help with the Foothills Recreation Aquatic Center, the Glendale Adult Center, our four community centers, and we have excellent talent on staff currently. And I think what you're referring to is a presentation we did last fall on the Foothills Recreation Aquatic Center and the Glendale Adult Center, and that's a totally separate item than this. And what we talked about was we did bring in an outside management consultant to kind of look at the operation and to suggest and make recommendations to us and the staff on what we can do to tighten it up, make a little more money potentially, legitimately so, not gouging our existing patrons, but look at other revenue opportunities and share that with the staff and with the commission. I think that may be the reference to what you're speaking about.
Mr. Strunk, as far as if the library was sold to Midwestern, all we have in there would be rooms at rent, correct?
Yeah.
Or once the library, if it was turned over to them or sold to them, the only thing available over there would not be resources for the library that they would expand into, but it would just be rooms to rent.
Yeah, you would have the, as I mentioned earlier, you'd have the continued use of the community rooms, the Roadrunner room, the Quail room, and there'd also be you'd also be able to use the space that's there during Monday through Friday, kind of the 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. time frame, if you wanted to go in and study yourself or read or whatever it is you would like to do there.
Okay, but there would be nothing in there. Is there any computer support or any computers in there for anybody or?
Not at this point, not for the public. That would be for the students and the faculty. That's what we understand.
Okay, I think I asked if Lori might have answered the programs up front that we would be giving up.
Yes, you did. Okay. I can have Lori speak to that again if you'd like.
Right. I wanted to. People are starting to leave now, so. Okay, that's all the questions I have right now, but there's other commissioners that have some questions.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify something. Earlier I said the 24 hours on the Sonoran Desert phrase is 135. It's actually 120, and I apologize for that oversight.
Okay. Pass it off to Commissioner Cole.
Hey, Bob. We've been talking about books. What about all the DVDs? Will there be spaces for that?
Yes. DVDs are one of our most popular collections. We would also have space for that, too. Part of what we envision, too, is having what we call gondolas in Glendale, basically like shelving where we can wheel it out and move it around. So, yes, you will have DVDs, I can assure you. That's one of our most popular sections.
I just want to make a recommendation to all you and your neighbors. You can pass it on. Is that maybe you should call your councilman and have him come out and have a meeting with the citizens of the district. And you've got a lot of good information that you can bring up and talk about today. So that's my recommendation. And I think that if you call for him to come out, him or her, whoever it may be, I believe that the council person would come out and address questions and have some answers. That way, when they do go to vote on this, he has more of an understanding, and he can relay what he gets from that meeting to the other councilmen that's going to have an impact in the final decision. Maybe it, it would help everyone from this district, you know, if he did it and he came out and he passed that information to the others. I think it would help you guys, so keep that in mind.
I guess what I have to say is just basic opinion. I don't know if I can give it. Am I allowed to give an opinion? You know, it just seems like, you know, we brought a lot of new people in along with the children and, you know, the seniors. You know, we brought them in. And it just seems like we're pushing them back out again. Yeah. I'm sorry, but it just... It's like we're defeating the purpose. I mean, we spent a whole lot of money on bringing that guy in. What was his name? A couple of months ago, they did a big study. And we did this big push to bring people in here. And now we're making a big push to push them back out. I'm sorry. It's just my opinion.
Mr. Strunk, do you have anything else before we open the public meeting? Okay. I will try to get through these people's names. Please remember, if someone said the same thing before you, if you could just voice your concern that, or your concern or support, whatever statement they had.
Testing. 1, 2, 3,
testing. Hey, Ron Thone. Sorry if I butcher your name. That's good.
Okay. I think if this happens, we're going to have to change recreation to library and call it flack instead of crack. I'm a table tennis player. We've been jacked around a lot in the last few years. We were open 5 days a week at GAC, and now it went down to 3, now it's down to 1, they moved us up here, they brought us 3 new tables up here, this is our 8th day here, we started on the 2nd, it's only 8 days, we came in for Monday last week, first time, and we were informed today that it's all going to go away, and I think it's about time that... it's the only place you can play in Glendale, by the way. If this goes away, one day a week at GAC. That's it.
Are you going to be
check out books if they're available only in the community reading rooms. And they get sent to your library. So if the book is only in the community reading room and not in one of the libraries, you still have access to it. There's already seems to be plenty of PCs at Foothills that I've noticed. I go in to use one of the only in-house databases, and I find that I never have to wait for a computer. So if you're going to add 22 more computers, that kind of seems pointless to me, I guess. How many adult books out of the 35,000 are we keeping? And how many children's? From the pictures, it looks like there's lots of children's stacks and almost none adults. I use the library all the time. I know my room by heart, and I really am going to miss the hard copy books. I do use electronics. The other question I had was for people that don't have e-book readers and can't afford them, what are they going to do?
Okay, thank you. Did you get all the questions that were asked? I was writing furiously. I would like to get the questions back to you, the answers.
Sure, I can talk to you after.
I do have most of your answers.
Okay, Betty Cito. Betty Cito?
Thank you.
also use both facilities. And the facility here, they charge for just a single membership $29. And that is the same as it's charged 24-hour fitness and LA Fitness. If you're going to cut back the services, you're not going to be able to charge the same fees for people to use the facilities here. And yes, we are busting out of the seams with the classes that I'm in. I take a class that's for seniors for dance, and we have to go down to the gym, and we used half the gym. The problem was they were also playing a game, and the balls kept rolling in while we were dancing, which is not really safe. So that needs to be taken into consideration. One of the things that I would suggest is that we have sheets available, and we have big signs at both the library and this facility, letting the people that use them know what's going on, a place where they can sign in, whether they're in favor of it or opposed to it, and also a place where they can put comments down. One of my other comments is that, and I'm not sure you could do this, but in looking at your concept just for the adult room here, I don't see how you're going to fit that into this room. Can you show me how you're going to fit that in? I mean, you have got 6 to 9 rows, or you've got 3 rows of books, and it looks like there's 3 sections in each row, which would fill most of this room right here. In addition, you have a table over there. You've got some tables over here. I don't think this is drawn to scale to where you can fit this into this room.
Mr. Strumley,
is it?
Do you have the library director? Can he answer that?
Also, Mr. Strumley, if you want a public comment, you certainly can, so if you'd like to.
Yes, I
can.
Just keep in mind, this is a concept. This is not drawn to scale, so...
My point exactly. This picture will never get to this.
You do Astra?
Hello, my name is Elizabeth Ostrom, and I am a member of Gary Sherwood's district, which is, I believe, the Sororo district. I have 2 boys, one is 3.5, and the other is 6. And while my main library is the Glendale Main Library, I still utilize all 3 libraries, especially during the summertime. And Foothills, in particular, has wonderful story times for children and train tables for them to play with, as well as plays and speakers. So I find myself here more during the summertime with my 2 boys. As a former elementary school teacher and reading interventionist and now a stay-at-home mom, I understand the importance of the physicality of books. Children are less likely to read books when they are not on display in their original form, a book to be held. When children see a bunch of computers, they are more likely to engage in games via the internet and not read at all. Children are reading less and less with technology and social media. I envision this storefront library at the Foothills and Recreation Aquatic Center as becoming a library of games for children, computer games for children, who need to be dropped off while their parents work out. And in closing, I just want to add this part of it. In my opinion, the Glendale mayor, along with the city council members, should view the Foothills Branch Library in the same regard as the Super Bowl. Invaluable. In an interview interview with Ted Simons on February 2nd, 2015, Glendale Mayor Jerry Weyer said that once all of the money has been counted from hosting the Super Bowl, we're probably going to lose a couple of million dollars. Weyer also told Simons the following: how do you put a value on 100 million people watching the game and some of them here walking around in shorts? When Simons asked Weyer's why Glendale couldn't attract the number of people compared to Scottsdale and Phoenix, Weyer's readily admits that Glendale only has 2% of the hotel rooms in the entire state, which would lead to another issue involving the casino, but we won't go there. And basically, how do you put a value on Glendale libraries that many taxpayers utilize on a daily basis? And that's where I want to leave it.
Mr. Trump, I have a technical question. Many people are asking specific questions. How are we going to get the answers back to them?
Chairman, what we're doing is we're writing, noting the questions, and we have a FAQ that we will have up and running. So as we go through the meetings, not only are they being officially recorded for the record, they'll be in the minutes of this commission meeting, and we're also going to have on our website the FAQ. So we may know, and we will follow up. We also have comment cards, so if there are folks here tonight that don't feel comfortable speaking in public or just want to make sure we absolutely got it, you can please fill out a comment card, and we will scan those and follow up those appropriately. Lastly, tonight, if there are afterthoughts after everyone walks out of the room here tonight, we also have a website set up that will allow anyone to enter their comments for or against, or, as I said, indifferent on that website.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Michelle Tanley Thompson?
Edison?
Excuse me. And in the garden.
Okay, so I'm right. I have a lot of questions too. I do embrace the idea of multi-purpose rooms, but I think it's something you have to plan for before you build the buildings. I know that the Foothills Recreation Center has not perhaps met its goals in terms of being able to be self-supporting, but isn't part of that the fact that it doesn't have the budget to be able to go out and market and provide instructors and different things to attract more people to come to here. I wonder about the parking. I've been here a number of times, and I definitely use the library. And I just don't see how you can bring these two functions together and have adequate parking when everybody wants to come here. I'm a realtor, and the word net means a very different thing to me than I think it does to the city. When I'm looking at net, I'm talking about after all debt servicing has been paid off, all costs, all closing costs, everything that's involved with the sale of property, what am I going to get in my hand after that closes? I mean, the library costs $7.8 million to build. I don't see how you're going to walk away with $4.1 million. I seriously doubt that the city has done advanced mortgage payments to pay off that debt. So I have a feeling the debt service on the library is not going to give us a true net of 4.1. Just a guess, just a wild guess. And we keep talking about the fact that we don't have enough money to do all these different functions in the city, and yet how are we going to spend all that money to move the library here and to, you know, create all these new technologies and these new areas? I just don't see how that's going to possibly happen. And I, for one, not only love the library, but I love the tactical sense of the book. My husband bought me a Nook. He thought he was doing me a favor. I still travel with books that I check out from the library because I like to read a little book. It's a whole experience. And I would hate to see that we do nothing more than create a whole support this concept of training kids to do everything online. I think they need to know what a book looks like, feels like, smells like, that whole tactile experience. So please don't take our library away from us. I think Midwestern is a wonderful partner. They brought so much to the community, and you know, I love having them in my backyard, but they still have other land that they can utilize to build. I don't see that happen. And obviously right now we're not in the greatest place economically, both in the state, the city, and the nation. It's a very, very fragile economy. It's really much a smoke and mirrors and a house of cards, to be perfectly frank. And so to sell the library right now, I don't think you're going to get the true value of that building. If the economists and the real estate gurus are true, I think in a couple of years we're going to see real estate values across the board, commercial and residential, go up. So this is a lousy time to consider selling the library based on that. Direct correlation to the reduction in hours.
Yes.
And I guess last but not least, I think if we're going to do something this drastic to the community, to the taxpayers who, expect a certain return from the city in terms of services, this needs to be put to a vote, not to the council, not, and with all respect, not to the commissions and the boards, but the citizens who pay taxes.
Jim Robinson.
Hi, thank you. If you were to clone the existing facility for the Hills, what would it cost? If you were to clone the existing Foothills Library, purchase of the land, the building, all the amenities of the facility, what would that cost?
Chairman, I think the chairman asked that question of us earlier, and we'd have to go back and do some noodling with the rent department. So we'd have to look at the land acquisition, construction estimates, and so on. So we don't have that information here tonight because that's not the proposal. The proposal is to possibly relocate, transform the library into this facility. That has not formally been considered.
Well, I think it should be considered.
Yes.
$25 million.
I just, once again, $5 million just doesn't seem to pass the smell test very well. The other is I'm an engineer in Honeywell, and one of the reasons I purchased my home was that library. And our favorite activity is to go to the library, and it's Adventureland. I've taught my children that rows of books are adventures waiting to happen. And, science and technology is certainly very important to me as an engineer. And fostering learning in my children is the greatest gift I can do as a father to give that to them. And loss of that library, I'm sorry, this facility would not be able to meet that need. Thank you.
Debbie and Jack. Shocks. Someone's moving, so it must be close.
Okay, alright. My name is Jack Shoup, by the way. I've lived here in Glendale for almost 40 years. Love the place. My hat's off, first of all, to the Recreation Center here. I love it. You guys built a first-class facility. No offense, but I think that if you do what you're going to do, you're going to take a first-class facility and you're going to create a second-class facility. I know a lot of the questions that I have been already asked, but I do have kind of a question, comment. I'm trying to wrap my head, or noodle, as you like to say, around the fact that we have three libraries. The second most popular library is the one that you want to go after and to remove the building and to cut in half and to literally bring it here into a recreational facility. And I don't understand the math there. Other than the only thing that you want to do is get the money from the land. When you sell an asset, it's gone. And believe me, it's very hard
to get it back. And in Glendale, you know, we're landlocked now. And what I'm saying is that we've got a first-class facility here and a first-class library up there. Last but not least, traffic is a concern. The young lady brought it up a little bit earlier. Has there been a study done on parking and traffic patterns that this is going to cause? Because I know that this facility can generate a lot of traffic, especially when you have special events, when the pool opens up, and it gets very, very active around here. And having children running back and forth and going to the pool, coming to the concessions and stuff like that, that's kind of a noisy environment. I've been here. I've been in this foyer, and it's been pretty noisy in here. And now you're going to put a library in next door to what is supposed to be fun and noisy and do all those types of things and split it up and take away the community room and stuff. Doesn't make much sense. But anyway, those are my comments. I'll turn it over to my better half here.
My name is Debbie, and I am a member of both facilities here. And I do go to the library quite a lot, and am very fond of the library. And I'm very fond of the dog park, and I'm very fond of the baseball diamond that we have, and also the small children's area, and the skateboard park. I'm very, very proud of that. The only way they could have done it better is if they put in the equestrian park that many years ago we were promised, but not going there. I'm really concerned about this because this is not an equivalent facility. We are not. A is not going to equal A. A is going to equal D, or A is going to equal F or C. We have a Class A facility. What we are going to be getting in turn is, sounds like, half the staff and a very, maybe very high-tech, lots of computers where they're all staring at each other, which I absolutely hate. Not very private area. And it's going to be cut like in half or more, and that concerns me. I, as a citizen of Glendale, I really hate to be considered an underclass citizen because I live in Glendale. I think that this area that we have carved out for us is first rate. I think that what we have and what is being proposed is very second rate, and we deserve better. We pay good taxes, and I've raised my daughter here, and I'm very proud of the fact that we have this little strip with our little dog park and our library and our aquatic center and all of these, and the skateboard park and all of these things. And I would like to see it all continue. I don't see why the Midwestern couldn't go a little bit farther north and build their building. I know that they're going great guns, but I believe as a citizen of Glendale that we deserve far better than we're being asked to accept.
Okay, can I remind everybody to try to keep it to about 3 minutes because there's a lot of... Oh, that's
right.
Not you. It's just a general reminder. There's a lot of people still talking. Janice Perkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Appreciate your taking the time to listen to us. I grew up in Glendale. I lived here in North Glendale for the past 20 years, so Glendale is very important to us. I don't understand some of the concepts that are being proposed here. I feel like we're getting a lot of half-truths. To quote the proposal itself, it says that this is going to be a partnership opportunities that enhance the library and the community. But what I'm hearing is that they're reducing the number of square feet of the library, they're reducing the total number of staff hours, they're reducing the number of books that are immediately available to us, they're creating a 24 to 48 delay in checking out books because we have to have them shipped in, that they are discouraging browsing of the library books, that they're discouraging library patrons who are not savvy with internet and technology. They haven't really addressed the needs of the fitness centers, and I will tell you that the elimination of the pool tables and ping pong tables are very important to us at the rec center. They haven't addressed the parking, and if you've ever been here with the summer rec programs, you'll know that our parking lot is already full. They talk about saving $4.1 million, but they don't say that any of that is going back to North Phoenix. It's going into space. So let me also quote part of this for the presentation. First of all, if you feel like this is an enhancement to the community, you're insulting us. This is not an enhancement. Presentation, it says relocation costs are covered by transaction revenue. So assuming that this also means that they're covering their tablets and green screens, the 3D printer, all that stuff, what about continued funding for the future equipment or the supply costs like the 3D printer? Has that been brought into the numbers? History shows that we're not keeping our library system on the cutting edge now. They've admitted that our technology is not there right now. So if this is so important now, why haven't we been moving in that direction? The old adage is history repeats itself, and if the reason was because we didn't have money, in the future years, we're not going to have money to keep it up there either. Another quote says that they're going to reduce the annual operating expenses without eliminating full-time staff. That's a half-truth, because they are eliminating staff. Here's a good one. A comfortable seating area with access to refreshments that patrons could enjoy while reading their book, periodical, or accessing the internet via tables. The existing refreshment center out here is not quiet. This is a fitness center. So does this mean that the fitness people won't have access to this area because it won't be quiet? It's totally ignored. This whole proposal is totally ignoring them. And if you, to Mr. Padilla's point, our fitness classes are full now. We are busting out of the seams on where to go. So we really have a problem with that. I think that this is a study on how to regress a thriving, exciting city into one of mediocrity. Glendale population has increased by 3.6%. The square footage of space and recreational services for its citizens has not kept up. And now the City of Glendale Council is considering reducing our public space and services even farther. So what are you going to sell next? Are you going to sell our rec center? Are you going to sell our public parks? Are you going to sell the other libraries? I'm sure you can get a few more bucks from these to cover the losses of Glendale's debacle mistakes of the past. So let's review them. Strike one, the whole Coyote Arena problems. Strike two, the futile fight over the casino. Strike three, the Super Bowl. And by the way, how many Glendale citizens got to go to the Super Bowl versus how many of us used the library and the rec center? You are affecting our beloved Foothills Library and attacking our rec center. I think you're totally striking out with this proposal. This is not in any way, shape, or form excellent public service. Thank you.
Thank you. I think the last speaker said pretty much what I was thinking. I'm an active user of the library. I like to order books online and pick them up at the drive-thru window. I like to browse the staff. Internet is not the same as looking at books on the staff and saying, oh, I might like to read that one. things like that. You take that away, it's difficult. I read the magazines. I enjoy that. There again, if they're not there, it's not convenient. I don't see this facility having anywhere near what the Foothill Library has. I like to see the parents bringing their kids in to read and look at the books. I think it's good that they are exposing the kids to reading and things like that. As somebody said earlier, the computer internet is not the same as picking up a book and reading it. I kind of enjoy the academic nature of the existing library. Regrettably, the trend is away from books to electronics. Benefits being listed, I don't think are really real and will not really be generated because the usage will be even less because it's really not a library being proposed. It's just a couple of rooms with computers and a few books of current bestsellers, things like that. So essentially, this proposal would destroy a Foothill Library, and which is a literary center of this community. And I recognize the proposal for what it really is, which is selling off a city asset to generate $5 million, which is a drop in the bucket for what Glendale needs. One reason the Midwestern University would like to buy it, a facility of that type to replace it today is going to be a heck of a lot more than $5 million. So we're losing in the overall aspect of this. Thank you.
Ray Anderson.
I'd just like to know the space we're losing here. If we could replace, get a place for the people to do the programs that are held in these two rooms, how many people is that that we'd be losing now? A week or month?
We're trying to get that information. Pat Kessler?
Thank you. I just have a very brief comment concerning the statistics that were presented by Mr. Beck, the apples-to-apples statistics. In the 2010-2011 fiscal year, the library was open for 69 hours a week. It is now open 37 hours a week. That's a loss of 32 hours. It's a loss of 46% of our available time at the library. I think the fact that we only lost 24% in circulation is pretty good, given the fact that we lost 46% of open time at the library.
Yes. Excuse me one second. Pat, I'm assuming that you're opposed.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Carol. Also, I assume that you
I'm opposed. Let me know. Yes. I have to say, I haven't lived in Glendale yet 2 years. I moved from Scottsdale because I could not afford to stay there. Mr. Beck, I've been involved in the two Scottsdale libraries as a volunteer for 7 years, Mustang, and I still drive over to Scottsdale, and I'm at Appaloosa. I take all the books that are donated to the libraries, I price them, I place them in the shop, and I sell them. At least 2 weeks a month, we're making over $300 a week in book sales, which I'm certain that Foothills does not make. I am in there, I have looked, I thought of volunteering here, but I also like to talk to the customers, and there is no desk there to talk to people. Our book sales make over $1,000 in the 2 times a year that we have them. So that would be another source of income for the Foothills Library. Secondly, I want to say, is Midwestern University a nonprofit or a not-for-profit entity? Will they be paying taxes on that building to the city if they move in there? Or are they going to get it for free like Northwestern University does, where I formerly lived in Chicago, and not have to pay real estate taxes? Do you know the answer?
I can't answer that.
Okay. I am a member of this facility and the library. I have no more little children. I have no grandchildren. But it gives me great satisfaction to see all of the older people, all of the children who come in there and to Scottsdale using the facility. I am the only one left in my book club who doesn't have a nook. I, too, like to touch a book. I like to resell the books. I don't know, based on the population here, I'm a novice, that you are going to be able to teach them all of the technology that you're proposing to put in this place. And thirdly, I come from a construction family of those who built high-rises in Chicago. I'm looking at the space that you laid out in one concept. I would hate to be in this room for a library with so little light access, no big vaulted ceilings like our over at Foothills. This will be terrible. I hope my realtor, I can't move to Glendale. This is a bankrupt city. My taxes are going to go up. But unfortunately, nothing fell into place, and I did like the house I bought. I am rooting for Glendale. What are the people here doing? I mean, you've come from Scottsdale. I still am very entrenched there in many volunteer positions. I don't know what you're thinking coming to this side and trying to do this.
Are getting the idea, and all of you are getting the idea, this is not what the citizens want. We are not in favor of this. I think the only people that really are going to benefit from this are Midwestern University.
If I could just remind everybody, just if somebody before you has said the same thing you want to expedite this meeting and make it so everybody can go home, because I know a lot of people have to work tomorrow, please do so. And also, let's stay focused on the topic of the relocation versus any personnel involved. Okay? Mary Shearhurst.
I've worked for the city of Phoenix for 25 years. 8 years of it was constructing new libraries and also remodeling libraries. I don't believe your estimate for the remodeling of the space. First of all, none of these lights will be able to stay. In a library, you need more like daylight lighting in your concept. We're showing that. So $100,000 is going to go just for the lighting in this building. Secondly, there's not that many outlets here, so you probably have another $100,000 in trying to get the power to all those computers you want. The other thing is, the wall over there looks to me like it's a structural firewall. So whether you can pull that out and actually construct what you're showing in your concept, I very much doubt it. And finally, that youth pool area is the only place in this building that a child that can't afford to join can go and play a game. They can't go into the gym. They can't do the climbing of a wall. That's the only room in this building where they can go if they can't afford, their parents can't afford to join. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
When it comes to technology, I work in the computer field,
The other day I picked up my first paperback book in, I don't know, probably months or years. And my wife laughed at me when I went like this and the page didn't turn. So, I like the technology. I don't like the idea, however, of losing a valuable asset in Glendale. When we, earlier someone alluded to the Super Bowl and it brought a thought up to me. She said that we didn't get all the people because we had 2% of the rooms. I've said it a lot of times. One of the problems we have here is we don't have assets in Glendale that draw people to Glendale. And here we've got this beautiful library, and we're thinking about shutting it down. That's a Glendale asset. That's something we should hold on to. That's something we should build on, not something we should get rid of. Some of the things I heard said tonight was that 65% of our collection was used last year, and I think that's awesome. So why are we going to only keep 25% of it? If 65% was used, we need to keep 65%. Maybe the rest can be farmed out. We need to keep as much as possible. And when we talk about this reciprocal arrangement, if we only have 35,000 books, and we get paid for how many books we loan to the other libraries, won't that money go down as well? Isn't that something that has to be factored in? The West Valley has been promised a library for ages. The cost of that library is $17.8 million. We're thinking about getting rid of this one for $5. Kind of wonder. And then finally, we've got an appraisal for $4.7 million. And I have to say, Michelle said earlier, she talked about the net. When you do a comp, do you look inside the building for the value of the art? Or do you look at the building? So if you're looking at the building, and we were appraised at $4.7 million, and we've got art that's worth $500,000 inside the building, and we're going to pay $5 million for the building. I'm not a mathematician, but I say minus $200,000 right there. That's really all I've got. Everything else I had was already said. I don't know.
Play the games properly so that you can maintain the tables.
I was with Conley Billiards for years. So the biggest thing I look at is, I'm not against technology. Walt Disney once said, change is inevitable, growth is optional. Okay? And I've been around a little bit longer than you guys, and I was there when they converted the first department stores all to computers, and the people were using NCRs, and they panicked. So there is definitely room for it. But I look at that space that they're going to turn the activity room into, and it says, kids here. And what's it show? The kids laying on the floor. Okay? It's social. When they play ping pong, they can play with older adults. They can play pool with older adults. It's social. It's competitive. But it has to be done right. And I think I could help do that.
Here, you didn't indicate if you wanted to speak. Okay. Krista Stone.
Thank you. I didn't come prepared to speak tonight. Actually, I wanted to listen to the proposal first. But I did feel after listening with an open mind to the proposal, I wanted to make maybe four main points. I feel like I bought my home based on where the library is, and I feel like North Glendale really has only two huge assets and amenities. One is the library and one is the rec center. We're thinking of combining it. Everything else, we're just going to move south and put it back in South Glendale where we've got to drive 15 to 20 minutes to get to it. I think the big winners here, Velma Teague and Midwestern students, you ask me. A lot of the pros listed in the pamphlet, I feel like either we already have those amenities at our current library, or is kind of misinformation when they list daycare and concessions. Well, of course, but you have to pay for that daycare and you have to pay for that food. It's not really a bonus amenity that you get when you use the library. The other thing that I wonder about is if we're giving the benefit to Midwestern students who get a brand new beautiful building, and they comprise maybe, I don't know, 3% of Glendale's citizenry. I don't know what the percentage is, but I know there's a lot less Midwestern students than there are community and citizens in Glendale. So I feel like we're taking, you know, 98% of the community here, and their needs are being pushed aside by a few percent of Midwestern students. I'm wondering if we, should offer Midwestern the ability to rent a wing in the current library and see if they would take us up on that.
Yeah.
Also, I don't have confidence that the $4 million that is left over or bonus will be used to anyone's benefit in this room. It will probably disappear into thin air.
Krista Stone. Okay, Mary Ann Hansen.
Okay. Most of my points have already been covered, but I'm left with just two. First of all, the technology part. I'm a great book reader, and I actually prefer print books, but I do have a tablet computer, and I read off of there also. But the library system used to have its own technology department, and when something went wrong, it got fixed. They no longer have their own technology department. They rely on the city's technology department, and it's fixed when it's fixed. I go into the library, and there's a lot of out-of-order signs. You know, they just haven't sent anybody up yet to fix the technology. So we're going more technology. What are the chances that everything's going to be up and running here in the FRAC building? I have my doubts about that. I'm an avid user of both FRAC and the library. I love them both. They're both beautiful facilities, and they both have their place. Combining them, I think, is something else. I challenge the commission and the city staff and anybody else that's interested to come to both of these facilities on a summer day, spend the day here and see what it's like. You come here, it's beautiful, it's full of children running around, screaming, they're going swimming. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what this building is for. But it's noisy, it's crowded, the kids are all standing in line, they get out of the pool, they come and leave, they're wrapped up in a wet, soppy towel, they're dripping from their bathing suit, and then you might expect them to come into the library. You know, what are they going to do with their soppy wet towels and their soppy wet clothes? It's a wonderful place, but I don't think combining them is going to be a good idea.
Have I missed anybody that submitted a card? Okay, that concludes our public comment section. Any of the other commissioners have any questions of staff?
Based on what that little guy said, I teach at a high school. There are schools that do not have libraries in this area? Seriously? Okay, that's my comment. I didn't know that. I didn't know not every school has a library.
Okay, thank you. That concludes our public comment section. Moving on to the